you call the president an Indonesian Muslim turned welfare thug and a racist in chief. I mean, yeah. Is that the kind of...
That's the way he's behaving.
But in Obama's America, the white kids now get beat up with the black kids cheering, yay, right on, right on, right on, right on.
If you are a religious person, you don't want someone telling your child that it's okay to be gay. It's as simple right. as that.
I'm gay and I don't molest any children. What do you think?
Well, I say you're lying.
Do right. you pray that I'll die tonight?
If you're homosexual, I hope you get brain cancer.
You know, it took me about a year to start hating the 9/11 victims' families. It took me about a year.
I like turtles.
Well, hello and welcome again to the Amerinds Live podcast. And joining me this evening are the ever-faithful Stephen in Wisconsin and Lurie Dean. And joining us tonight is, drumroll please, Archer from Archer.com. Hello, boys.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
How are you all?
I'm tired.
Are you now? I understand you're a bit gassy, too.
Yes, I am a little gassy, so be forewarned.
Ooh!
not gassy as in farts, gassy as in burps.
Well, either way, you'll be like Big Fatty.
Yes.
Ooh.
And I'll try to do that when I do burp.
Oh, that would be good, yes.
You did a good job on your last little show.
Yes.
Well, I did post a topic over at amerindspodcast.com, just to sort of get us started. We don't necessarily have to stick to just that and see where it goes. But the question I was basically posing is, are gay people really different from non-gay people? And obviously there are certain aspects where we're very different, the fact that we can be fired or lose our homes or perhaps be killed because of our sexuality. But there are other ways in which maybe we're not so different. There has been very little research done into the social behaviors of gay and lesbian people. There's been a lot of research that's been done on what you might call pathologies, about drinking and about violence and self-esteem and all those sorts of things. But very little has been done about the way gay people act in the world as compared to people who are just like them in every other way, say race, gender, income level, education level, all those kinds of things. So my question to start out with is, are gay people any different from straight people who are otherwise just like them? Who'd like to go first?
Well, I would, because I read your post and I was thinking that I would really like to be on this conversation because I may not understand your question, but I would say generally, no, gay people are not different unless you look at their pure sexuality, their pure, just the sex that they have. Yes, they're different, but everything else is the same. I think in terms of, when you said people can get fired for being gay, those are situations that are put upon us. We're that doesn't really necessarily make us different. It's how we're treated differently.
Right. Yeah, I would tend to agree. And I mean, there theoretically might be circumstances which, I mean, there are cases where people may be treated differently because of irrelevant factors, such as race, for instance, or religion or something like that. And in that sense, it's similar, I suppose, to the way gay people are treated. But I guess what I'm getting at is, are gay and lesbian people inherently different from their non-gay siblings and friends and relatives, neighbors, whatever? Because there was a claim after the, I believe it was the 2004, must have been the 2004 election, that something like 25% of gay people voted for George Bush. And a lot of people questioned that and said, oh, that can't possibly be true, and carrying on. But the honest answer is we don't know. I know that with political science, that there's very little hard data about the way gay people act in the political world, because most of that is based on public opinion surveys. And those are where a pollster will call up somebody, ask them a bunch of questions, and ask them to tell over the phone to a stranger whether or not they're gay. And no matter how out a person is, and no matter where they live, there are a lot of people who would think twice about self-identifying to a stranger on the phone. And so most of that data isn't very reliable. So I guess the first thing is, in our experience, do we see that the gay people we know act any differently from a straight person who would otherwise be the same? You know, as I said, the same income, generally speaking, the same sort of profession, maybe the same race, and all that sort of stuff. Lurie, have you seen any differences that you could possibly identify?
Well, you mean other than the fact that we're pretty fabulous?
Well, that goes without saying.
It's a given.
Honestly, not. I mean, I think everyone has the ability to be fabulous. But I don't, you know, the only thing that I would say that I think is different about us is I think that we have, at least in my experience, we have a propensity for community that a lot of people don't have because they don't have to, because they aren't or haven't been societal rejects or things like that. But, you know, I think we're slightly different social animals, but that's circumstance, in my opinion.
Well, you're probably right.
Can I disagree with him?
Of course.
Sure.
Because I would say that that's not necessarily true, because there are groups of people who build communities as well. You could look at ethnicity. African-Americans build a community together. Asian-Americans build a community together. People who have like-minded religions build a community together. So I don't think you can say just because gays build a community that we are different, because really any of these specific groups build communities as well. So I don't think you can break it down to that. You see what I'm saying, though?
Yes.
Well, Stephen, as the youngest one in this chat, do you see things in your generation, say, as being maybe a bit more so what? You know what I mean? About not caring so much if somebody's gay or not.
To some extent, yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that people of all different backgrounds are different among their own communities. I mean, everybody comes in their own flavor. I would say that it's hard to say that we're different, because we're different from each other even. Yes, I mean, not everybody's identical just because we're gay. So, I don't know.
I just got, I thought it was somebody sending me a message to get in, but it was just you boys chatting in the Skype thing. The nerve. I think part of what's got me thinking about this is a lot of the rhetoric that's been flying around about same-sex marriage and the National Equality March and all that sort of stuff. There was a comment from, I don't know if she's a school board member or what she is, but some lady in California, and she was upset about the special day set aside for Harvey Milk, because she was saying that homosexuality is not a civil right. And she went on to say that, you know, basically, how dare gay people compare their struggle to what African-Americans have gone through. But when she said homosexuality is not a civil right, I thought, yeah, so you're right. It's not a civil right. However, people who are gay have civil rights, and that's what the issue is. But it got me to thinking, you know, if we take the position that all gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people are inherently deserving of the same civil rights as everybody else, why is there a problem? What is the real hang-up that keeps us from being accepted as just the same as everybody else?
Well, when you look at the religious right, it becomes their religion that tells them that we're wrong.
True.
That we're bad. So religion goes in there. And then, of course, the politically Republican people just don't think we should have the same rights as them simply because we're gay.
That's true. And it's also that there's really no way around it. Part of the problem is the ick factor. A lot of heterosexuals look at us, and all they can see is the third syllable in the word homosexual, and they spend a lot of time apparently thinking about what it is they imagine we do all the time. And
we put dicks in our mouths,
or wherever.
That's what I was going to say.
And there, you probably saw that there was a story in the news about how President Obama is getting ready to appoint a gay ambassador to New Zealand and also, well, Samoa as well. But and I went to a right-wing website in New Zealand, a blog, to see what they were saying about it. And the guy who writes it was positive. He was gracious, and you know, nothing at all unusual. But then you read the comments, and they couldn't understand why the fact that this guy was gay was relevant for at all. But a lot of the comments were about sex, and they were saying, why do they have to parade their sexuality around all the time? Why, you know, I want to just make it clear. One commenter said, I want to make it clear, I fuck women. And I thought,
please.
Yeah.
Like you have to tell us that.
Yeah, exactly. Like we didn't know that part.
Yeah, isn't that what everybody assumes?
Well, he wants to make sure that you know it.
Although that always makes me think of, you know, me thinks he doth protest too much.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
When's the last time you've walked down the street and said, I fuck men?
Yeah, I can't think I've ever done that.
Nope, me either.
Well, and that's kind of the reaction to a lot of what people see at gay pride parades, too, is, you know, why do they have to parade their sexuality? Why do they have to parade, you know, they?
Yeah.
So.
Well, in previous Archer Gangbang shows, this has actually come up where we have talked about, or others have talked about, how this being seen as the other is one of the problems, one of the obstacles to achieving full equality. And I think that's part of what's behind the question that started this all off. If we're not really all that different from them, to use this us and them thing,
right.
How do we get them to see that without sounding like we're trying to do just me too? Or can we?
Well, the problem with that is that it's us, the gays, who see that we're just like them, except for the kind of sex that we have. It's them who, it's, you know, the other people who see that we're different, that think that we're so different.
True.
So, I mean, it's convincing them that we're like everybody else.
Right.
Well, is part of the problem that American society in general is just too sex phobic? And because they see us in terms of sex, that they can't look beyond that.
Well, that's definitely true, in my opinion, based on the puritanical beginnings of this society.
Yeah, but do you think that liberal people are as wrapped up with sex or as the conservative people, or is it just a conservative thing?
Well, I would say I attribute that more to religious people, whether they're liberal or conservative.
I think it's true more across the board. I mean, there's the old saying that a faggot is a homosexual gentleman who's just left the room. And
right.
I think that's true with a lot of liberals as well as conservatives. It's just that the liberals hide it. The liberals pretend that they believe in full equality and all that, but they don't necessarily really do that. And, you know, when the homosexual gentleman leaves the room, it's they talk about the faggot. I'm not convinced that they're necessarily any better in that regard than conservatives.
Although, again, that's sort of where I think the generational difference
true
kicks in, too. You know, again, just since it is possible for gays and lesbians to fade into the background, you know, there are times that you can observe the behavior of when someone that everyone knows leaves the room, how people talk about that person versus people that they don't know. So it's, again, just my observation is that that certainly is true of my generation, that that's how they would behave and talk. But the next generation, the next younger generation doesn't seem to have that problem as much.
Yeah, I don't think the younger liberal people are as wrapped up with sex as older people. So I think you're right about the generational thing.
Yeah, I've seen, one of our nieces is in her early 20s, and she and her friends, they're just, it's almost pansexual in a way, the way that that kids of that generation seem to be behaving, that it's not really, they don't really like labels, first of all, and secondly, that they don't seem to be as hung up on the idea of sex in general as generations that went before. Certainly, they're not as hung up as my generation, or as Lurie's in my generation, because we're basically the same age. Sorry, Lurie, I shouldn't have told people that.
No, that's all right. It's no secret. I'm approaching 50 like a bullet train.
Been there, done that. Been there, done that, and it's a derailment.
At least I get to speak freely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know, I don't know that there's an easy way to get around the whole sex obstacle. It's certainly not as big an issue in other countries as it is in the U.S., other countries that are less sex-phobic. I mean, obviously, there are plenty of countries that are equally as phobic about a lot of things, not just sex. But when you talk about developed countries, Western countries, the U.S. seems to have particular trouble with anything relating to sex. I mean, you look at the Christianist activists, and one of the things they're always campaigning against is pornography.
Right.
And
even if they don't talk about it, female sexuality seems to drive a lot of Americans crazy, too. Not just homosexual sex, but any talk about females being sexual is often shunned.
Oh, yeah. And as Tukav, I don't know how to pronounce that, in the chat room said, conservatives don't like sex to be out, whatever the orientation. And that's certainly true. But, Lurie, I think you're particularly right about female sexuality. It's always seemed to me that one of their main oppositions to abortion rights is the idea that it gives women liberty over their own bodies and what happens to it. And they particularly don't like that. I mean,
how much of that? Let me ask you. Sorry for interrupting.
That's right.
How much of that fear of talking or fear of having it out has to do with their own their guilty. They're feeling guilty
about sex. Exactly.
But all the stuff that they're doing in their bedroom, they're feeling guilty about. So they don't want anybody to talk about sex. Period.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's. An interesting psychological symptom, too, I think, of where the people who are the most adamant about keeping things hush-hush just generally have their own hang-ups, quite honestly.
Right. Hmm.
That's like the whole think he doth protest too much, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, for a lot of Christians, original sin means the sin of origin, which means basically how people came to be. In other words, the sex pokey. Act.
Well, the hokey pokey.
Yes. And I should point out that not all Christians believe that that's what original sin is. I mean, my own denomination taught that it meant being born apart from God and had nothing to do with how you were created. I mean, in terms of sex. But I think a lot of people still carry around that. And certainly Catholics have been taught that sex is for procreation exclusively. And you're not even allowed to practice contraception of any sort, even, because the purpose of sex is procreation. And who's that?
Oh, that was Leo.
Oh, hello, Leo.
You're flapping.
Let me ask you a question, Arthur. Then, if the Catholics can feel that sex is only for procreation, what about all the people who cannot produce children? What do they feel about them?
Well, I'm not a Catholic, so I can't really speak to specifically what the Catholic ideology or theology is.
Isn't that what the death panels are for?
Yeah. Because I saw this video. Somebody posted a video somewhere about, sterilize the women who can't get married so that they can't have kids. And I mean, it was a funny video, and it's something like, okay, well, if the Catholics think that way, what do they actually think should happen to these people who can't procreate?
Hmm. Or the people who get married late in life and obviously at that stage can't have children anymore.
Right.
Same sort of thing. Or people who are just naturally infertile or sterile or whatever.
Right. So do they think that these people should not have any sex at all? unless it's going to be for procreation.
Well, again, as a non-Catholic, my impression is that the modern theology is that in such cases it is permissible between a husband and wife, even though it can't possibly create children, because there's always the theoretical possibility that there may be a divine intervention and they might get pregnant after all.
Uh-huh.
Right. Just in case. Yeah. We're going to keep fucking.
Yeah. But as a non-Catholic, I can't really say.
Well, goodness knows the boyfriend and I keep trying.
And you'll be rich if you ever succeed.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a prize for that.
Should be so lucky. Oh, well. You might as well keep practicing, because you never know.
Right.
Yeah, so, I don't know, it's just the whole thing about religion and sex and social acceptance and all that does all seem to get wrapped up with each other or with itself and this sort of this tightly wound ball of string. And it seems to me that it's almost impossible to pull out one strand and try to deal with that one strand without basically taking on religion and sexuality all at the same time. But if that's true, then how on earth do the activists pick a target or a priority? I mean, all of them are equally entwined with the others in some respects.
Well, I think there's a different group to attack each thing.
Well, that would be my ideal, to be honest with you, rather than one overarching group to deal with everything. But if ordinary people are facing real discrimination problems because of the way they're perceived by the heterosexual majority, and of course we all know that they are, is it worthwhile to pursue something like, for instance, Don't Ask, Don't Tell as a top priority when it will frankly affect only a small minority of GLBT people?
Down.
Well, actually, I think if you start with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, then that kind of puts your foot in the door for other things like ENDA and DOMA.
Okay. That's a reasonable argument.
Of course, I would prefer ENDA over anything else, because then I could come out at work and not be fired for it.
Or even be found out at work and not be fired for it.
Right.
Which, it's not a huge difference, I guess, but...
Well, as I've said many times, I'm sure people at work already know that I'm gay.
Right.
I would just be able to come out and, you know, put a rainbow sticker on the car and stuff like that.
You radical you.
I know it.
Well, Stephen, what do you think about the priorities of the national movement?
I don't know.
Would you prefer to see them address Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which seems to be the top priority at the moment, or concentrate more on something like ENDA or the repeal of DOMA or something like that, or hate crimes?
I think ENDA is pretty important. I mean, I'm lucky to live in a state that I don't have to worry about that, because we've had an Employee Non-Discrimination Act for almost 20 years now, I think.
Yep, the first state in the union to get one.
Yeah.
So you are lucky.
But I think it's kind of stupid that there are people who can be fired for just being themselves. That's ridiculous.
Welcome to the state of Virginia.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, in other states as well, there are plenty of states that don't have anti-discrimination provisions.
It's interesting because our last two Democratic governors signed, whatever their thing is that they can sign that says, in hiring of staff for the governor, they will not discriminate on sexual orientation. But that doesn't apply to the entire state. It only applies to state employees.
Yeah, and I saw that Republican guy who's running for governor has said that he will not sign it again if he becomes the governor.
Yes, so and the sad thing is it's looking like he will become our next governor.
Ugh. Despite everything.
Exactly.
Lord
it's
Byron.
Not because it's not because he's good. It's because the other guy is so bad. The
right.
Democrat is the Democrat is really bad.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Lord Byron in the chat room says that his preferences would be 1 DOMA, 2 civil unions, 3 Don't Ask, Don't Tell, in that order.
And no ENDA?
See, I would put ENDA first because I think Don't Ask, Don't Tell really would fall under ENDA.
Agreed.
And then DOMA after that. But
good point.
Perhaps combining Don't Ask, Don't Tell and ENDA at the same time, because they're right. Kind of the same concept.
I mean, technically, military service, in my opinion, is kind of like an employment contract.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So I think Don't Ask, Don't Tell would fall naturally if ENDA passed.
Yeah, and I suppose the thing about Don't Ask, Don't Tell that's important to remember is that it's not just about the soldiers who are out there doing the shooting. It's also about anybody employed by the military in a military capacity, including translators, medics. It could be anything.
Right.
Would that include, like, contractors of military?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think that's up to the contractor itself to decide what it's going to do. With
right.
its employees. Although, since most of them have military backgrounds, they probably don't have any provisions.
Well, it might also be dependent on military clearance, too. I mean, there might be denials of military clearance for people who are out.
Yes.
True.
So.
Well, it wasn't that long ago that anybody who was gay was denied a security clearance automatically because
right.
it was presumed they were a blackmail risk.
Right.
Exactly. But I think we're already past that, though.
Well, yeah, and Frank Kameny, or Kameny, however you pronounce his name, I'm not sure, had a lot to do with breaking down those barriers way back, starting in the 50s.
Well, and I think just people being out sort of helped break that down a little bit, because I think that the thought process, anyway, about denying security clearance was because it would push a person out of the closet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you were already out,
yeah. Well,
quite honestly, who cares?
So, yeah, well, then there's no way that anybody could do you.
I was going to say, then think about the effects that ENDA would have, then, because more people would be able to come out. Because
right.
having a secure job is like the biggest thing. Well, for me, the biggest reason why I wouldn't come out, because I'm
right.
you know, out and everything else. So if ENDA was there, then more people would come out. I think.
Well, I think you're probably right. Especially in the parts of the country that would never pass any sort of equal protection laws.
Right.
Or even cities, for that matter.
And technically, you know, housing is another big issue, too. I mean,
yeah.
in certain states, you can be booted out of your rental, you know, if you don't fit the right profile.
Yeah. And
can you be denied a mortgage because of your sexual orientation?
Depends on the laws
probably.
Of the state.
Yeah.
I don't believe that there are any rules for federally chartered banks, but I imagine for state chartered banks it would depend on the state. And since Illinois has outlawed discrimination based on sexual orientation, I presume that any state chartered bank wouldn't be allowed to discriminate in writing a mortgage. But in a state
right.
that doesn't have that law, I would imagine that unless there's some other provision, a state chartered bank would be allowed to discriminate if it wanted to.
That's interesting because I was going to say I signed all my documents tonight for my refinancing of my condo, and the very first question she asked was, that the documents say she has to ask is, what's your marital status? Are you single, married, unmarried, or divorced?
What's the difference between single and unmarried?
I don't know. That's why I thought that question was so weird.
Unmarried is kind of like legally separated or just won't say, even, technically.
Or possibly living with somebody who
partnered,
you're not married
yeah.
to.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh.
It's kind of a slush. Yeah, it's like a slush topic for people who don't like any of the other options.
For people who are living in sin.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah, in New Zealand, they used to say married, single, widowed, divorced, or de facto, which covers anybody in what's essentially a common law marriage. But nowadays, of course, they also have civil unions, so things are different. Now,
then what's the difference between single and never married?
Well, I suppose you could be widowed or divorced and be single.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Well, I selected single just because I thought that's what I was.
Hmm. Well, that's what I have to
probably should have chosen never married.
Yeah, I can't imagine what difference it makes. They ought to be specific about things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not all bankers. We don't all understand what they mean.
Yeah, should they add a category that says virgin?
A virgin on the ridiculous.
Poked. Never been poked, never been kissed.
I guess I didn't think about the question long enough. Plus, I had like 700 documents to sign, so I was just like, let's move along.
Yeah, it just goes on and on and on. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, here's another thing I've thought about, and I know how Archer's going to answer this, but one of the things that has annoyed me is the way that a lot of the laws that are going through, like, say, same-sex marriage in the places where it's been adopted or attempted, and even anti-discrimination laws, will have specific exemptions for religions. Now, I understand that they're doing it to get it passed, to get it, to try, not to win conservative support, but to get some of the people who are in the middle. But it somehow offends me that they're doing that at all.
Right.
Now, I know what Archer thinks, I'm sure.
Describe that again, because I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Let's take same-sex marriage, for example. They will put a provision in there that says that no church is required to perform a same-sex marriage. And that a preacher as well can't be required to do it, even if he's like the only one in town or something, that they can't be prosecuted for that. But the
I happen to agree with that.
Well, what annoys me about it is that no religion is forced to marry anybody.
You know? Oh, I see what you're saying. So why put that in there?
Yeah, it seems like still trying to make us second-class citizens in some way, or different class anyway.
And it's still
like pointing it out.
Right, it codifies the discrimination.
Yes.
Yeah. Although the only thing I can think of, and I kind of understand why they would put it in there, only to make sure that people understand that that's not, that they don't have to reform those things. Because people are too stupid to realize that.
Because you'll get people like in California with the Prop 8 who will say, a minister or a priest will be forced to marry gays.
Yeah.
And that way it just makes it clear that that's the case.
Kind of like how they were forced to marry interracial couples.
Yeah.
And men with their dogs.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And their goats. I'm holding out hope for a goat. Something about those sick stomachs really gets me going.
I was in the butcher's the other day and I saw goat meat in their in one of their cases.
Like, oh, you saw some goat meat? Does that get y'all excited?
No. No. Although I do remember when I lived in Chicago, there were certain grocery stores that sold goat's heads. And I thought, what's this for? Is this for some sort of satanic ritual? But apparently there's actually I think it's a Mexican dish that is a delicacy where they actually boil the head or something. I don't know. I didn't want to know, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, the thing about the religious exemptions is that, I absolutely agree, and I actually have no problem whatsoever with religions refusing to marry anybody, you know, whether it's based on sexual orientation or race or religion or anything. That's for religions to fight out. It has nothing to do with me.
Plus, I believe that marriages are all civil anyway.
Exactly.
That's my opinion, too. I would go the more radical step and say, you know, let's just call whatever we call it. There's civil, and then there's spiritual, and
it's just a piece of paper they have to sign.
Well, funny you should say that. A few years ago, there was a right-wing preacher here in New Zealand. He led a fundamentalist Christian party that never went anywhere, and he said that, in his opinion, that same-sex marriage was inevitable. This was several years before civil unions were adopted. And he said same-sex marriage was inevitable, and so what they should set up is a separate category called covenant marriage, which would only be open to a man and a woman, and basically it would be impossible to get a divorce, or nearly impossible. And it was a really a radical thing for a fundamentalist to say, because that was the first time I've ever heard one even admit the possibility that same-sex marriage was inevitable. But, of course, he's now in prison for child molestation, but that's kind of beside the
point. Of course.
surprise.
Exactly.
But it was a kind of an interesting thing, this concept of a separate religious marriage and a separate civil marriage. And it's always said to me, and I Archer, I said this once in one of your shows, that it seemed to me that the way forward was to get marriage out of the churches, and the debate would sort of take care of itself. Although it seems that since Proposition 8, that was, I think, a shock to a lot of ordinary people. And I think that's really started pushing the overall opinion in our direction, but maybe not enough to win in Maine or Washington State.
Oh, I hope we win in Maine.
There was actually a little bit of news about Prop 8 earlier today, and I think it was CNN. Let me find it quick if I can.
It was about the court case going to trial, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That it wasn't dismissed, I think.
Yes.
Right. Well, the way that the judge wanted them to prove how gay marriages would affect or ruin straight marriages or heterosexual marriages, I should say.
Right.
And it was just a very interesting way of going about that, I thought. But I can't seem to find it.
Well, one of the things I thought was interesting about that article is that the judge asked him specifically to say how that the same-sex marriage would harm a opposite marriage, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And that seemed to undermine their entire case right there.
Yeah.
Although, obviously, they're going to appeal.
Well, what would Maggie Gallagher say? What would her be excuse for, because her whole thing is against gay marriage. What does she say about how gay marriage would affect her marriage? You know how she always says it undermines the sanctity of marriage? Well, what does that mean?
I think one of the biggest arguments that gets used in that direction is because once it becomes okay for gays to marry, that means we start teaching that that's the right thing to do in schools.
And what's wrong with that?
Teaching that it's an okay thing to do is fine, but that's part of the terror, is that once it's okay for us to just be us completely, that now their children see that it's okay for us to be the way that we are, and that undermines the generational authority that they want to impose on the children, which don't get me going
your
on
kids.
That. Yeah, exactly. Or start
because if the school board approves the curriculum for teaching of same-sex marriage, then there's nothing those people can do.
Right.
True. But that's not going to stop them from whining and carrying on.
Absolutely. Right. You're right.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of the people who are the most worked up about what's taught in the schools don't actually have any children in the schools in question.
Isn't that always the
case?
Exactly.
Yeah, not only are they interested in their own children's education, but the education of everyone else's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing with trying to ban books in schools. They think that their child shouldn't be allowed to read a certain book, but neither should anybody else's child be allowed to read it. In other words, they have the right to decide for all other parents what's acceptable and what's not. And nobody ever calls them on the arrogance of that.
Well, and that behavior is what I refer to as the puritanical undercurrent of this society.
Well, and the thing is, some of those people are getting on school boards to change just that.
Right, yeah.
That's the Pat Robertson approach.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, when he ran for president, I don't even remember what year it was, 84, 88, something like that, he failed miserably to get the Republican nomination. And he said, we've got it all wrong. We shouldn't start at the top. We should start at the ground and work our way up.
Right.
Start with the school boards and the town councils and the county boards, and then eventually we'll take over everything.
Take this country back for God.
Well, he sort of ended up kind of getting what he wanted with the Republican Party anyway.
Well, exactly.
But the other thing about school boards is that very few people really pay much attention to school boards unless some controversy comes up. They certainly don't, they're not really very interested in running for it, which is how these people can often take them over by, taking advantage of people's indifference.
Well, and I think because it doesn't pay enough.
Well,
if it paid more, you'd see a lot more interest in it.
It definitely doesn't pay much, but I guess I'm really boring because there are times when I will sit and watch the school board meetings that are broadcast on our local channel.
Yeah, well, that has more to do with your
profession,
too.
I was going to say, there's, yeah, exactly. You have a little bit of personal self-interest there.
I watch Proceedings of Parliament on our TV, and I bet you most people wouldn't do that. So.
Yeah, that's true. Luckily, our school board has, I think, 8 Democrats this time, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I think there's 3 Republicans, and they're all stupid. As you would expect, I'm sure.
Well, where I grew up, the school board people ran as nonpartisan. And they didn't even have pretend parties like the town council had. But I grew up in one of the counties outside of Chicago, and they're all largely white, and they're all largely Republican. And so you knew what you were getting on the school board anyway, because you wouldn't get a liberal Democrat running for that anyway.
Right.
I don't know if you heard about...
I was going to say, our school board used to be appointed, but about 8, maybe 10 years ago, they went to an elected school board. And so now they actually, people, you know, campaign against each other just to get a school board position, because it usually means it's a stepping stone to, like, the county supervisors, and then which would be like state representative. So I mean, it's like the beginning of the step to greater things in politics.
Yeah, and of course it's possible to do it completely differently, because New Zealand does. But one of the things, I don't know if you saw it in the news, but there was a case of a teacher in a town called Geneva, Illinois. It's in a county called Kane County. And he said to all of his classes, he's a consumer education teacher, and he said to all of his classes, as an example of what you shouldn't use tax money for, that you don't want to send it to black fags in New York.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
And he went before...
How about the brown fags? I'm all cool with my money going that way.
Well, our side understandably got upset about it, and there was a gay student who made a formal complaint, and he felt the teacher should be fired. And he said that, you know, you talk about where you don't want your tax money going. I don't think it should be going to his salary. I thought, I'm with you.
Right, exactly.
But he only got a slap on the wrist.
Yes, he did. Happened. He did. And I think that the thing that has to be remembered about that kind of situation is that Geneva is just like all the other counties in that area. It's mostly white. It's mostly Republican. Geneva itself is 96.5% white. And then the other minorities all sort of, you know, divide up from there. And it's overwhelmingly Republican. The congressional district is, of course, represented by a Republican, and I can't remember it ever being represented by a Democrat. So the nature of that school board is going to reflect that community, obviously. And I think it was probably unrealistic to expect anything other than a slap on the wrist for that guy.
Yeah.
But talking about school boards is what made me remember that. I did notice that I first saw the story in Joe My God, and a lot of the commenters kept talking about it as if it was Chicago that this was happening in. And I thought, no. Chicago's completely different.
Yeah, because exactly. That would not have flown in a Chicago school.
No, not at all. He would have been fired.
Yeah. Well, if he survived the rest of the day.
Yeah,
well,
that's true, honestly. Well, there are some white high schools in Chicago. But, yeah. Well, I think we're going to start wrapping up for today. But first, I have one last topic. Archer, what the hell are you doing?
What the hell am I doing?
Are you podcasting or not?
I put out a show yesterday.
Yes, I know, and I listened to it.
Well, I am podcasting just whenever I feel like it.
Oh, okay. So you're definitely not then one of the multitudinous quitters.
No, I quit quitting.
Yay. Archer, quit quitting.
I'm following the Sarah Palin model.
Oh, jeez. I've heard what she's up to.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm still podcasting. I'm just not doing any live shows, except for now, this one. But I mean like my own. And just podcasting whenever I feel like it. I don't have all my equipment out. I'm just using the iPod Nano. And, well, now I just have this old USB microphone out. But, yeah, I'm still podcasting.
Okay. Because we've been losing so many podcasters lately that my downloads very often come up with one download at a time.
I know. I have the same issue. I agree with you.
I think this is really weird.
What do you think's happening? Why do you think this is happening?
I don't know. I mean, John Ong said on Twitter, because he was talking about quitting, and I said, you better not. And he said that, you know, all podcasters go through fatigue from time to time, and I think that's probably true. I mean, there's certainly been times when I just haven't felt like it. But I don't know. I mean, some of the people who are leaving have been doing it for quite a while, like Omar.
Yeah.
And they just probably feel like they've done enough.
Well, you know, I was getting to the point where I was like, I don't know what else to say. I don't really have anything else to say. My shows are so boring when I just tell you about the weekends. It's the same shit every Monday, you know?
Yeah, but this week I was sick all week, and so I didn't feel like podcasting. In fact, I obviously didn't. And apart from the two political, because that was the one day I felt okay.
Yeah.
But I felt guilty then, because there was nothing else being released, and I felt guilty that I wasn't putting something out. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do it just for the sake of assuaging my own guilt.
Well, that's true. You know, I'm really glad that Scotty is putting out as many shows as he's putting out lately. Because he's the only one who's I'm listening to on a regular basis now in terms of, you know, putting out shows. Well, yeah, and Big Fatty, yeah.
Although we've all unsubscribed from Big Fatty, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there just aren't so many left. And I should say that Scotty did want to join us tonight, but he was unable to. He had to take a paper to class or something. And but he will be joining us in a future episode, I'm sure, once we can work out the scheduling. Because they're 2 hours behind us.
Oh, wow.
Which I didn't realize that. Yeah, in some ways it's easier than dealing with the U.S., though. But anyway. Well, why don't we then give you each a chance to plug something, as Archer would say. And Stephen, we'll start with you.
I don't know what to plug. I guess I could plug Pundit Kitchen again.
You can do that.
I enjoy it. PunditKitchen.com. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
I'll look that up.
Okay. Yeah.
And Lurie?
Tonight I'm going to plug Jake in Chicago. His website is nofo.blogspot.com. Another one of
my read his blog.
Favorite reads.
Yeah, I read one. I read his too.
I'm going to post his URL in both the chat and the Skype chat. There you go.
Plus he's hot, too.
Well, yes.
That never hurts.
But he does some pretty good writing, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And Archer?
Well, as you know, there's Archer Radio is no longer a website or an email address, so everything is now just archer.com. Videos, podcasts, photographs, everything. And
that's
I don't know if
any
of you have noticed. Yeah, right, 2 R's, A-R-C-H-E-R-R. I put my nude male pictures back up, so there's a gallery of naked man pictures, so go over to archer.com and check them out.
I actually went to your site once looking to see if you put your other photos back up, and you hadn't.
Which ones?
Oh, you used to have that photo blog you used to just put some random photos on?
Oh, yeah. Archer Photos is gone, too.
Yeah.
Everything's gone. It's just archer.com. So.
Sadly. Well, sorry?
Just to consolidate. I was just consolidating. Remember there was a time when I was all on Archer, and then I spread it all out, and then I just brought it all back.
Yeah, and I wish people would update their links. Oh, wait a minute. That includes me.
but it should automatically. I have it. It should automatically go over to archer.com because I have a direct. What is it called?
A redirect. Redirect. Yeah. Well, I haven't tried it lately, so I'll have to give it a go and see what it says. And I should point out, as I said, I didn't podcast at all this week, apart from Too Political, which is now available at twopolitical.com. That's the number 2political.com. And the next episode of the Amarin's podcast, next studio episode, will be a Commentapalooza because they've stacked up. I forget to do it, and then I didn't do any this week, so, you know, it happens. But that is going to be it for today, and I still don't have an appropriate sign-off. No one has suggested one yet. So, because I don't have one, I'll just say goodbye, people.
Talk to you later, peeps.
Yeah, it's so original, eh?
Hi, my name's Arthur.
And my name's Jason.
and we're the hosts of Too Political, a podcast in which two old friends talk about politics, the news, and whatever else we think of. You know, we've been friends for a long time.
Yes, a very long time.
We've always talked about news and current events.
We've been going on like this for years. Now you can listen in.
You can find us on iTunes or go to our website, twopolitical.com. That's the number twopolitical.com. What's that name again?
Too Political. Too Political.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Ammons Podcast at ammonspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at ammonspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.